Church, that brings us to our second objective. Our second objective is understanding our doctrine concerning man. Our doctrine concerning man. The subtitle for tonight's message is, Who Are We? Who are we? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Church, we must be governed by sound biblical doctrine concerning man. In other words, we ought to know what the Word of God says about man and be governed by that truth. We ought to know what the Word of God says about man and be governed by that truth. So, what does the Bible say about man? Well, biblical doctrine concerning man can be divided into three categories. Three categories. The Bible teaches us what man was, what man is, and what man can be. That's what the Bible teaches us concerning man. It teaches us what man was, what man is, and what man can be. Now, while we will touch on what man was, the heart of this objective over the next 2 weeks will deal with what man is and what man can be. So, what is man? Who are we? And when I say man, I'm talking about mankind, the whole of mankind. Who are we? Well, the simple answer is this. We are sinners who need saving. We are sinners who need saving. Now, right away, I can feel some sighs and some moans, because this is not what we're accustomed to hearing in the church anymore. In the body of Christ, we have become accustomed to hearing how great we are, how much God needs us, how special we are in the eyes of God. And certainly, God does love us. But we have to understand what the Bible teaches us about mankind. So I could feel the sighs and the moans and, oh, Lord, pastor's about to beat us up. But stay with me, because we need to know what the Word of God says. Who are we? Does the Bible say that we are all essentially good people? Because you hear that a lot today. Is that what the Bible says, that we are all born good? We're all good people. No, it says the exact opposite. Amen. The Bible expressly teaches that we are by nature sinners. That's what the Bible teaches. And you have to ignore a whole lot of Bible to come to a different conclusion. Amen. We are by nature sinners who need saving. David said it this way in Psalm 51:5. He said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, I was born a sinner. My mama was a sinner, and I came out the chute a sinner. That's what the Bible says. Well, how did this happen? How is it that we as men are born sinners, sinners that need saving? How did it happen? Well, to understand what man is, we must briefly talk about what man was. That's why we're looking at Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Here in Genesis chapter 1, we see the end of God's creative work. God has created the heavens and the earth out of nothing through the power of his word. He brought forth light, water, land. He made the sun, the moon, the stars. He brought forth living creatures. Everything that was made by God. And everything that God made was good. But after he makes all of these things, here comes the pinnacle of his creative work. The pinnacle of his creative work is when he determined to make man. Let's read verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, what are we learning in these few verses of Scripture? We could spend weeks talking about these verses, but let me point out some simple truths for us that we should see. First, this Scripture reminds us that God is the sole reason we exist. That's the first thing we see. God is the sole reason we exist. God is the reason why I'm here. Without God, I would not be. He is my creator. I'm not here because of a tadpole. I'm not here because of an ape. I'm not here because of cosmic dust. I'm not here because of aliens. God created me. He made me. So we see that God created man. And we also see that God established the standard by which man was to live. He created man, and then he gave him a standard. See, God created man first to reflect his character, because the Bible says that he made us after his image and after his likeness. Now, there are many debates on what those two words mean, image and likeness. But what we can take from that is that man was to reflect who God is. We are to reflect his love, his holiness, his purity. We were to reflect and reveal his goodness and his faithfulness. So God created us to reflect who he is, not to be what we want to be. Then we learn that God created man to carry out certain duties. He gave man responsibility. What did he say? He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, take dominion. In other words, man, you are responsible for the earth. The animals aren't responsible for the earth. You are. I'm giving you responsibility to care for the earth. So we see that God, who created us to reflect his character. Then he gave us responsibility to care for the earth. And God created man to love him through voluntary submission. Voluntary submission, because if you keep reading, you see that God says to them, he puts them in the garden, and he says, now this tree of knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. This is your commandment. Obey me. Submit to me voluntarily. So this is what God did when he created us. He made us to be like him. He made us to care for the earth. And he created us to obey him through voluntary, loving submission. Now, when you put all of that together, we are forced to reach an inescapable conclusion from the Word of God. And the conclusion is this, that God as my creator has a claim on my life. God as creator has a claim on my life. I owe him my life, and I am answerable to him for my life. That's what this scripture shows us. See, this scripture kills all controversy. That's why people want to say that the Bible is not true. The scripture kills all controversy. It shows me why I can't just be what I want to be. That if God made me a woman, I can't be a man. Or if God made me a man, I can't be a woman. I can't just be what I want to be. I can't just do what I want to do. And I cannot just ignore God without consequences. That's what this scripture shows me. Man was created for God's divine purposes. And we were enabled to carry them out. That's what was. So what happened? What happened to us? Well, we know that man rebelled. You know the story. You should know the story. That the serpent beguiled Eve, told her, God really didn't mean that. God's not telling you the truth. God's afraid that if you eat of that tree, you're going to become like him. Go ahead and eat it. So she saw that the tree looked good. She took of it and she ate. Then she turned and gave it to Adam. And so man rebelled. They rebelled against God's will and his purpose. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. That was what was. Adam became a rebel. He became a rebel. He had everything he needed to obey God, and he chose not to. He became a rebel, a sinner, one who misses the mark, one who turned away from God's standard. Adam became a rebel. But not only that, what did he do? He passed his rebellious nature on. So Adam passed his rebellious nature on to the next generation. And the next generation passed it on to the next generation. And so on, and so on, and so on, until it got down to me. And no one has escaped this corrupt nature. We are all sinners because we received our nature from our father, Adam. That's what the Bible tells us about mankind. Let's look at Romans chapter 3 as we really expand this thought. Romans chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 9. Paul is talking to the church at Rome, and he's letting them know because there was division in the church. The Jews thought they were better than the Gentiles. And Paul says, no, everyone is a sinner. The Gentile is a sinner. The Jew is the sinner. There's no advantage for you being a Jew. That's what Paul teaches here. And in verse 9, he says, what then? Are we better than they? Meaning, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. One, not even my grandmama, not even your grandmama. Amen. It goes on, he says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. None of us has ever sought God. And you might say, well, I've loved the Lord all my life. I gave my life to Christ when I was a small child. I have loved God since I was 5, 6 years old. You didn't seek God. God sought you. Says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doth good, no, not one. These are strong words. And when Paul uses this word unprofitable, that word literally means useless. He's saying all of us have become useless to God because none of us does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open